You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Just find a space of quiet in yourself so that you can hear these words in your deeper understanding. In a world of busyness and bustle and struggle, torn by troubles that seem eternal and insoluble, sometimes the only thing we can do is be still for a moment, to remind ourselves what is really real in that moment. The feel of the pew we sit on, the ground under our feet, the breath effortlessly flowing in and out of our lungs, the heart that beats without our bidding, and the safe part of your mind that observes all this, thinking, and therefore simply being. During this service, may you simply be present in each moment as it unfolds. Our simple attention is the most real thing we own, the fixed and certain point in the turning world, and it makes each moment whole and holy. This might be hard for you to believe, but I've not always been the person you see before you now and you've come to know. As a youth, I was the shyest, most introverted kid in my class. Seriously, if I got called on, I would blush crimson to my hairline, which was then lower, and stammer. I was especially terrified of getting up in front of roomfuls of people. But getting up in front of roomfuls of people has been a part of what I've been doing for a living all my adult working life. Teaching, acting, lecturing, preaching. Clearly something changed along the way. What happened? What made that change? Wonder drug? Nope. A mystical experience? Nope. Did I sell my soul to the devil at the crossroads? No, nothing like that. What changed me from being an inward quaking mess to, well, not an inward quaking mess, was practicing being someone who was not that. I realized that my shyness was so crippling that if I didn't get out of it, it was going to kill me, or at least be a life not worth living. So I took some speech therapy to at least get rid of the stammer. The speech therapist was also an acting teacher, so I took some acting lessons. And I learned this from playing make-believe. If you repeatedly act the way you'd like to be, soon you'll be the way you've been acting. If you act the way you'd like to be, soon you'll be the way you've been acting. So I found if I assumed and practiced, for example, the outward physical signs of confidence like eye contact or an upright stance or breath control, and did it for long enough, I actually began to feel confident. Like most introverted kids, I played some instruments, so I joined a band and made myself perform in public places. I could memorize lines because I was bookish and I started doing plays in school, and so more confident became the way I was. We always think feeling prompts action. We have a feeling and then we do something. And that's true. But it's also true that it works the other way. I found that states of feeling can be induced by taking some action. For instance, if I were to do the action of banging my fist on this wall with increasing force, I would soon feel a little bit angry, or pissed off at least. You won't have to fake a feeling or awareness if you make that feeling or awareness. You don't have to fake what you make. A handy visual mnemonic for this rule of psychology comes from Shakespeare, of course, who puts it like this. The dyer's hand becomes the color of its trade. In other words, yourself will become what you repeatedly attend to, just like repeated immersions in dye imbue your skin. And the important thing for us as Unitarians who love our freedom is that you are free to choose what to do with your attention at every moment. And we can become more than we are, because human beings, after all, are nothing if not adaptable. The simple truth that we can become what we do is supported by both ancient religion and modern neuroscience. As an example, all over the world this month, hundreds of millions of our Muslim brothers and sisters will be focusing on developing their spirituality by observing Ramadan. Observing Ramadan entails daily practices of fasting and prayer. For this one lunar month, with every hunger pang before sunset and with every prayer, they build up their awareness of living their spirituality. Now, I'm not a Muslim, of course, but I think if everybody in the world stopped 5 times a day and prayed to the God of their understanding, we'd have a better world. Similarly, last month, all over the world, for 40 days, Christians observed Lent. During this time, traditionally, you give up something you really crave in order to recall Jesus' suffering. So with every frustrated craving, Christians build up their awareness of living their brand of spirituality. Now, I'm not a Christian, of course, but if everyone deferred instant gratification at will and was freer of constant craving, it would likewise be a better world, would it not? So in those fixed periods of focused practice, Ramadan and Lent, in those fixed periods of focused practice, these months or so of observance of Lent and Ramadan, both Christians and Muslims bring their awareness of their spiritual lives and their devotion to it more to the forefront of their minds. The idea is that spiritual practice produces spiritual awareness and thus the growth of the spiritual dimension of our lives. Now, there are many kinds of spiritual practice, of course, prayer, ritual, meditation, chanting, and so on, that have been around for a long time. But how these actually work in the mind has recently been revealed by neuroscience, a new frontier of brain science called neuroplasticity. And this means exactly what it sounds like, that the brain is plastic or flexible. Its networks can be reformed and your self remade. How? Well, by practicing different things, new connections between brain cells are made, and therefore new neural pathways are created, and new habits of thought become embedded, and most importantly, what becomes embedded, you can forget about doing. It becomes part of who you are and how you behave. But you have to practice until something gets embedded. So, when you see something as effortless and elegant and, yes, as spiritually alive as LeBron James doing a layup, it is this way because he doesn't have to think about the mechanics of a layup while he does one, because he's practiced it a whole lot. So that elegant, effortless behavior just emerges. Now, it took way more than a month of practice to get to that. However, neuroscientists say that all you need to create a new neural pathway, and therefore to create a change in you, or reinforce something in you, in your character, is 21 to 28 days of continuous practice. You know, like a spell in rehab. A month is all it takes for the dyer's hand to become the color of what it's been doing. Again, this is something religions have known and practiced for a long, long time. So, in the context of your inner life, which is really what all this is about, ask yourself, what sort of spiritual nature do I want to develop or have more of? More peacefulness? Less judgmentalism? More contentment? Less obsession? More compassion? Less crankily dissatisfied, more thankful for your life, more open to awe and wonder? All these forms of spiritual health are achievable, but you have to take steps. You have to practice regularly to acquire them. Please be seated. Now, you will by now have been given by the ushers a long list of suggestions for spiritual practice that are not connected with any specific religious tradition. No one's asking you to fast. Got that? If you don't have one, talk to the ushers. Pick one from this list you are willing to commit to daily practice for the next month. If you don't like any of them, make one up. But be able to tell us why you're doing it, what spiritual goal you have in mind. I say be able to tell us because the two remaining services we have before I go to my UU conference in Germany are going to be mostly you talking to us about what you're practicing and, most importantly, how it's going. That's right. The next services will be about the spiritual practice you've been doing between Sunday services. What I will mostly be doing in the next two services is going around and randomly sticking a mic in your faces and saying, "Tell us what you're practicing and how it's going." You will be the service content. To remind you and to motivate you between services, I have a free gift for you. To help you with your daily practice, I will be passing around one of these wristbands that will be coming around. It's silicone, and so it can be worn in the shower, or the bath, or the pool, or the ocean, or the garden, or maybe anywhere except an acid bath. So there is no need to remove it, is my point. Unless you take acid baths. They will be my daily text message to you, my daily tap on the shoulder, reminding you that nothing worthwhile comes without you taking steps. Spiritual health will not come from just attending these services or any church services. Spiritual health will not just one day happen to you, a sudden blinding insight knocking you over like St. Paul off his horse. And spiritual health can't be bought in a shop. Spiritual health, whatever that looks like for you, is a road you make by walking it. A road you make by walking it.
Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both. And be one traveller, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference.
So which of the many roads on this sheet will you walk in the next month? You'll see I've organized these according to things we all struggle with from time to time, some to deal with self-harming inner monologue, some with difficult personal relationships, some just to free you from the snares of the chronic anxiety that seems to have become the new normal in our fearful, competitive, and angry world. Take a moment and discuss with a few people around you which you might try, which you might want to focus on, and why. Meantime, take a wristband as I bring them around. So it's time for some buzz time. Okay, thanks. Now, would anyone care to volunteer which they'll be working on and why? While I bring this around. these are extraordinarily encouraging, and well done, you guys, for being brave enough to share them with everybody. A week from now, when you come back to church, we can talk about how it's going. And there'll be struggles, and there'll be some successes, and you will be able to week measure growth, so sort of that snapshot from week to week from the daily work. But just like having a gym buddy has been shown to get better results when you go to the gym, it's going to be immensely beneficial to encourage and support each other this month. So talk to each other. Ask, share, encourage, support. Walking this path collectively makes it easier and more rewarding. Doing it collectively makes it easier and more rewarding. But finally, taking steps toward your spiritual growth is up to you to actually move the feet and to take steps. Most of this work will happen, though, not by talking about it with others, but deep within your silent self, deep within your thoughts and feelings, and your relationship to the quiet center of yourself that observes your striving, your struggling, your discovering, you're accepting. It's getting in towards winter now, so maybe deep within yourself is as good a place to be as any. A place of hibernation, of gathering energy, integrating your powers, and calling on the nourishing spirit that is great within you, or you wouldn't be here. It's a road. It's a pilgrimage, not up and out, but down and in to the self. A self which is not solid and fixed, but plastic and flexible and yours to make and remake by taking steps in the direction of your better self. I was a pilgrim upon the way. 1,000 longings urge me on today. I seek that peace beyond a prayer. Hold me quiet till I am there. On shall I go and not grow weary. On shall I walk, doubting, fearing. There is a place that waits within me, and in the quiet, I will find you there. Amen. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. May you watch yourself well this month of observance. Amen. Have a great week. Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.